The second feature of the Spanish Inquisition, which I think is noteworthy, is that having gotten rid of the so-called Jewish problem, the Inquisition seems to have lost all interest, or lost most of its interest, in killing people. And it actually tended to be rather moderate in its punishments, especially by 16th century standards. Torture was rather infrequently applied and tended to be accompanied by medical safeguards. In fact, there are even letters which have survived in the Spanish archives of prisoners who have been held in other kinds of prisons who are petitioning to be transferred to the prisons of the Inquisition because they feel they'll get better treatment, better living conditions, and better food there. Moreover, the Inquisition was strikingly enlightened in its treatment of witchcraft accusations, which made it quite different from most tribunals in the rest of Europe. In the early 17th century, there was an outbreak of witchcraft accusations on the French frontier. It started in France and spilled over the frontier into northeastern Spain. The Inquisition sent a Jesuit up to investigate, and he came back with a report that most of these accusations of witchcraft were clearly groundless. And the Inquisition reviewed the documents and in 1614 issued a ruling, advising caution and leniency in all cases. From 1614 onward, the safest place in all of Europe to be, if you were going to be accused of witchcraft, was Spain, and ironically, because of the Inquisition. Indeed, the Inquisition was usually pretty good about distinguishing true accusations from false ones. Of course, it was much more difficult to deal with cases of pathological self-denunciation, which did take place. There was, for example, a French nun in a convent at Alcalá by the name of Ursule de la Croix, who confessed to the Spanish Inquisition that she was guilty of heresy and of eating meat on Fridays. The Inquisition reviewed the case and absolved her for this offense, but she returned shortly thereafter and again confessed to the same crimes. She was reconciled back to the faith and given a very light penance. And the third time, in 1594, she denounced herself again. By now the Inquisition said all right and obligingly sent her to the stake to be burnt to death. But this gives us at least some idea of the reluctance, relatively speaking, of the Spanish Inquisition to execute people after the mid-16th century. The third feature of the Spanish Inquisition that's worth stressing are the real limitations on its power. Over time, a legend has grown up of the Inquisition being something like a Stalinist bureaucracy, which was everywhere, watching everything, listening to everything, overseeing all activities in Spain. But this really is totally inaccurate. For the most part, the Inquisition depended on denunciations from inside the community. Stories which used to circulate that the Inquisition had networks of spies watching everybody are a fiction. The Inquisition really could only prosecute if someone was denounced by another member of his or her own community. What this meant, therefore, was that if a community was tightly knit among itself, it was more or less impervious to the Inquisition. There is, in fact, a very interesting case of a 16th century Galician priest who openly instructed his own congregation in church to be deaf and dumb when the Inquisition visited them. As he said, "Let us be very careful tomorrow when the Inquisitor comes here. For the love of God, don't go telling things about each other or meddle in things touching the holy office." In any case, from a simply logistical point of view, the Inquisition never had that many personnel at all. Its influence was concentrated in the cities, which were relatively easier to operate in. Yet at the same time, something like 90% of the Spanish population lived on the land, which meant that the overwhelming majority of the Spanish population never really had any contact with the Inquisition in their lives. But for all of these qualifications that we might want to put on the Spanish Inquisition's activities and power, there's no point in underplaying what's my fourth point, the fact that it was deeply unpopular. Most Spaniards seem to have accepted the Inquisition. There were rarely riots against it, but the Inquisition was never loved by anybody. Indeed, especially in Aragon, the Inquisition was seen as a threat to the regional privileges of the kingdom, or the fueros. The Inquisition clearly promoted a climate of fear and of suspicion. If a denunciation was accepted, the accused was locked up in the jails of the Inquisition and denied all contact with the outside world. And in fact, the case proceeded on the assumption that the accused was guilty. The accused was allowed an officially appointed lawyer. He could, in fact, refuse the first lawyer and request another. But the identities of the accusers and the witnesses were kept secret from the accused, making it hard for him or her to organize defense. The only recourse that the accused had was to draw up a list of his or her enemies. If the list contained the names of any accusers or witnesses, their evidence would be discounted. But cases could nonetheless drag on for years and years and years, all the while with someone languishing in prison.